to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Perfect, but it'll be pretty perfect maybe even without Mr. Matt Weber. I think she's pretty good on her own. She was last week. S&P futures down 650. Dow futures down 46. NASDAQ futures down 30. We're continuing the sell-off yesterday that coincided with the releasing. Well, I haven't seen the transcript yet, and Nancy Pelosi coming on saying she's going to bring, or at least have an impeachment investigation. And, of course, the Twitters and everything else have been lighting up on both sides, firing away after this one. Of course, long before anybody reads any of the stuff, which is typical, I suppose, but that's where we're at. And we'll see where the market does with that. It looks like we're not going to do much in Congress for the next year, which is probably not such a good thing, but I don't think anybody ever likes something like this happening. Whether it's justified or not, I guess we'll see. But the sides are already lining up. I can't wait to read my emails from this morning from both sides to see where everybody's already got it figured out. We don't know if they do or they don't, but they think they do. Do we have Kevin? Evidently, we do not have Kevin. So anyway, the way this impeachment thing works is the House does the investigation, and Kevin, how are you?
Good morning.
What's going on? It was we made the wrong call at the. The Dunkin' Donuts, we thought that since there was an extra person there, things would go faster. But then we realized an extra person just did nothing but take orders and stand there. So
good work if you can get it.
Didn't really do much. It was like all she did was impede the two ladies that are normally there. So there.
Oh, yeah, there's not a lot of room behind the counter at a lot of those places. One more person makes it worse.
Well, and let's just say they've been known to have spatially challenged people behind there.
Just okay.
Saying. Just saying. You can't be. You're not fat anymore. You're spatially challenged, right?
I see. Well,
you're not short.
I am what I am. What can I say?
Well, you're not. Hey, you're not
so
short,
how are you? What you up to these days? Is there? You know, I'm sitting here down in Nashville. I've been drinking up education stuff. So. You know, is there anything going on in the world? Are we going to impeach anybody? Anything like that?
As of yesterday, we're going to try. So that's where.
Yeah, although she didn't put it to a vote, so it's, you know, she announced that they're going to do an inquiry, but they haven't voted on an inquiry, and nor have they scheduled a vote. Meanwhile, Trump says he's going to release the unredacted transcript, and then there's a report in the Washington Post. This morning, saying that in 2018, the Democrats sent a letter to Ukrainian leadership saying they wanted their help investigating Trump, and that the future of aid to the Ukraine might be at stake. I'm sitting here just looking at this whole story and saying these people are all frigging nuts.
Absolutely, they all are.
And as Lou has said a number of times. You know, all the Democrats have to do to win is avoid being crazy, and they cannot do it.
Well, I was spouting a little bit yesterday. I mean, the idea of let's put it this way: the combination of politics and foreign business is most you know. And don't get me wrong; I'm not an expert on this. I've never been on the plane. When you go open up a new country, I've never been one of the 15 or 20 or 30 companies that go with you and get introduced as like the American companies. And I surely know that everybody who has some kind of connections sure tries to use them. And on both sides
absolutely.
Of the aisle. And
absolutely.
I mean, if the fact
the way,
that,
do you believe that Biden never once talked to his son about any of the business stuff that?
Oh, I'm sure they talk. I mean, I also know.
Biden says they didn't, not even once.
You know, but I mean, I'm also very aware, Kevin, that no matter what it is, and this is coming from the right now, and of course, it has come from the left. No matter what it is, no matter what a cesspool there is a limit to somebody's impropriety. And I'm hoping that Trump didn't go there this time, but I'm getting stuff from people that no matter what it is.
So, like I said, you know, I'm sitting back and letting the story unfold.
I'm too.
You know, because they're saying that, well, first of all, if he really releases the unredacted transcript as opposed to the Trump's notes on the call, you know, then we'll know.
Yeah.
Don't we?
They had one of the guys from CNBC yesterday was after Pelosi's talk. He said this thing has been in the wind for a while. There's other stuff that's been in the wind, and there's stuff on the Democrat side that's been in the wind, like you just said. He goes, why today? What has happened that we don't know about where Pelosi's been absolutely against the election coming up, any sort of impeachment thing? What changed her mind? And he goes, either this thing is already out there, or there's something. He goes, there's something we don't know about, because what all of a sudden changed things today?
A couple of things just to speculate, and it really is nothing more than speculation. She has had this. If you remember her first round as Speaker, I mean, it was pretty much the iron fist. She, you know, the way, you know, her plan got executed. Period. And that was it. You fell in the line, or you got crushed. It's not working that way this time. She has this, you know, rebellious group that is farther left than she is, who is pushing everything. So, you know, what could be? Well, she saw a last straw on Trump. Okay, that would be one, and so now she's willing to go for impeachment. Another one could be that that, you know, some of that left flank said, we're doing impeachment, and if you aren't there, then we'll find a new speaker who will. And so maybe she had that issue to deal with. Whatever it is, she has not been able to run the agenda the way she did the first time through as Speaker, and so she may be playing to a constituency. The third thing is that she's always had to walk this fine line because she's got a lot of people in Congress who will get primaried if they really don't push hard back on Trump. And so she's got to, you know, she wants to keep the majority. She doesn't want to undercut some of the existing people there. Otherwise she's going to have the squad times 50. And she doesn't want that either. So, you know, Pelosi is not, you know, she's a shrewd woman. Let's put it that way. She's a really shrewd person. And, you know, this was a political calculus for her. You know, I don't think she does anything because she's too appalled by what she's seen, just because she's seen so much appalling stuff that I doubt that, you know, there is any such thing as a last straw. Now, she may think they have a chance to impeach, a real chance to impeach, and if she does, she could be going for it for that reason, but she could just as well be going for it for a political calculus.
Well, what's the point of, even if you impeach somebody 4 months before the election, is that a plus for your party or a negative? I don't even know.
Well, when the Republicans did it to Bill Clinton, it turned out to be a huge negative. And I do think that if they impeach Trump, it will harden the original support and any add-on support that Trump has gotten incredibly. I think they have that issue, and he's not going to be convicted. Let me put it this way: he's not likely to get convicted in the Senate anyway.
So they're
not going to remove him from office unless we really do have a case for treason here or something, you know, resembling it. But you know, like I said, we'll see. You know, since this came out, I've said, well, I want to see how it really turns out, because the original reporting is never the same as what
right.
we eventually discover.
Well, as we had this discussion on the way in with your very liberal friend, Mr. Matt Weber, he goes, the something nasty about the Republicans in the Senate will never vote against them no matter what. And I said, Manny, that's not the way it comes down. I said, I know it was before your time, but like I said the other day, and I'll keep saying it, everybody has their spot. And if it was so egregious, I mean, we know that let's put it this way. What I think I know is that the man has zero, and this is a plus and a minus, by the way. This isn't all negative. Has zero regard for any of the let's say the niceties of office, or even
let's say the conventions.
Well, even the stuff that if Congress votes Kevin O'Neill $50 million for your new school, he feels it's his 50 to give to you, and he can somehow intercept it along the way. Where Congress, I don't think, feels that way, and maybe the rest of the people, unless Trump's your guy or whoever it is your person, you don't feel that somebody should wield that kind of power, because the president does not have the purse. Once it's passed, it goes, and should anyway. And I, you know, if there's, you know, hints in here that he tried to withhold this money is sort of like blackmail, which I wouldn't put it past him in a second. Now, whether he did it or not.
No, I wouldn't either. And we have a history of how he has operated his business to support that. And so, you know, everything that he's been accused of doing in this instance is totally believable, but that doesn't mean he did it. So I'm
right.
I'm
well, I agree.
To see I'm waiting to see the transcript, and we'll see what it says.
What I'm saying is
that also doesn't mean he didn't, and it also doesn't mean that we're not going to see some things that kind of walk up to the edge of it and imply exactly what he's accused of doing without him actually saying it.
But I mean, in practice,
which would be just as bad, by the way.
But in practice, what we have seen in our lifetime, that Maddie and Lika's lifetime, we've seen that when it came time for Tricky Dick, and I'm not, because he had his supporters all the way along the line. He had almost as many, not quite as bad or as good as Trump, because the other side wasn't considered, you didn't have a million AOCs on the other side. So the even if you don't like the guy, the thought of the other side is enough to make anybody shake, really. Democrats, which I am, right? Well, I'm not anymore, but I used to be. I mean, the thought of these people taking control has me with problems. But
yeah,
by and large,
the 18-minute gap undercut is Republican support.
But the point being
the point being there's a breaking point, is I think what you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying is it's never going to go well with him. Well, never is a long time, but it's never going to go to the full trial. If our lifetime shows us anything, as I was trying to explain, or can't say I'm explaining because I can't tell you the future, but what happened in Nixon's situation was, I believe he had a Republican Senate. You know, Wayne knows the stuff backwards and forwards. And all it would take right now, say there's five Republicans advantage in the Senate. All it's going to take is for six or seven guys to walk into the White House and go, I can't go with you on this one. It's too bad. I'll never live with myself. I can't live with my district or my state. I can't go with you. This is too bad. It's worse than I thought it was going to be, and I can't vote no. It'll never go there. I mean, that's
pretty much what happened with Nixon.
Yeah, exactly.
When he was clearly going to lose, then he resigned instead.
But I mean, 55 people didn't show up. Five people did.
Right.
And said, "Look, it's going
to
be."
Doesn't have to be unanimous. It just has to be enough.
Yeah, and it doesn't. And the advantage is not that great. I mean, if all of a sudden, I mean, if it got to the, I refuse to believe. Well, I may believe it tomorrow, Kevin, because maybe you're right. I honestly, I have to believe that some piece of information drops from out of somebody's ceiling on somebody's desk within the last day or two. I have to believe that. I mean, it's not just all of a sudden she's afraid of AOC.
Well, I don't know. All my real point in with Pelosi is that that the speaker is going to make a political calculation, not one based on some kind of moral outrage.
Yeah, you know, I will say this. I listened to the speech yesterday as best I could because I was had other issues, plumbing, things like that in the house, that kind of thing. anyway, I'm going to say that even people who like him versus the Democrats, and I'll tell you what, there's an awful lot of people I like in the middle between him and the current Democrats. That's where I am. So everybody knows where I am on this stuff. I listened to a speech at the UN, Kevin. There's very few people that I know. I mean, but on either sides of the aisle, you, Lou, on the one side, and I still have some Democrat friends, but they're kind of in the middle too. They're not near as left as these people. I don't think his view of America and no globalism, no this, no that, every country's out for themselves. I don't know anybody who has that view other than him. He seems to think everybody's got it. You might have a few people hanging in a trailer park. They want to screw everybody else in the world, but I don't think anybody else, when you pull away the beers from them, actually think that we can live in this world alone. I mean, I honestly don't believe. There's a lot of people who think we could do a better job.
I didn't see yesterday's speech, Tom, so I can't comment on that. In the past, what he has said is he will act in America's best, United States' best interest, and he expects other countries to do the same.
But in the idea of, but he basically,
as it comes to negotiation, you have to find that, you know, what works for both.
Well, for me, it went beyond that yesterday.
He has never said that, you know, we're going to go it alone. I've never heard that.
Yesterday is the first time I heard him say that basically the globalism people are idiots. That there's a way we can all do this together. I mean,
a lot of them are.
Well, okay.
Depending on what your idea of globalist is. You know, I mean, look, this is the same thing that the EU is dealing with now. It's regionalist in their case, but it is something central that's kind of dictating the norms.
Well, let me put you. I'm not talking about
the British. Obviously, push back on that, or the British people push back on that.
I get it, but that part I understand. And then, to me, I'm with the Brits. That went too far. But the idea of having 50 countries in the, or 25, wherever there are, in the Asian basin, and him cutting some sweetheart deal for the Americans 25 times, instead of having one treaty that everybody piles onto and is a way for all of us to do business. I'm going to say, Kevin, that is stone cold ignorant. And I'm on the economic side, that's stone cold ignorant.
Well, yeah, and from, you know, I look at that just from, you know, from the business side is, you know, who wants to manage all of those different ones. Now, I realize a lot of that is, you know, is controllable by database to keep you from doing, you know, crazy things and doing things way wrong. But it, you know, it also, you know, I don't know what the guy would or wouldn't do in Asia over the long haul, but he did redo NAFTA into USMCA, so it's not that everything has to be bilateral.
I'm going to say that 95% of that is the same as it was before.
I would guess that it is, and that there's stuff changed around the edges. But what I'm saying is he did do a multilateral agreement there. I'm with Lou on the idea that the guy does not have an ideology. It is, everything is transactional with him when it comes to this stuff. So if there were a deal to be made with 20 Asian countries and he thought it would work and he thought he could make it happen, he'd probably do it. But if not, then yeah, we're going to have 20 different deals. And I would hate to be the person responsible for a global company that's doing a lot of importing and have to deal with different sets of
in real estate, Kevin,
imports, you know, tariff structures and
all right, we gotta
and,
go.
And other rules.
Let's pull this after break, because in real estate, if I screw you and I screw Maddie, you guys never get to talk and come back at me, but other countries get to trade between each other and go around it. Big difference. SP futures down 650. Dow futures down 50. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell, Mr. Kevin O'Neill. She's AV on the board along with Mr. Matt Weber. SP Futures down 5.25 and NASDAQ Futures down 25.75. Good news of the day, though, is Nike up 5.41. They came out with good news last night and came out with some pretty good guidance. So they're trading 92.59 after that stock was down yesterday. We'll see if that holds up there. So far it has. Dow down 42. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down, wow, 141, 1.1%. That's not good. FTSE down 64.9%. CAC around leading the charge down 84, 1.5%. Over in Asia, we got the Nikkei down 76.4%. Shanghai down 29, that's a full 1%. Hang Seng down 335, it's a full 1.3%. Bonds, 1.63, so down from the 1.7 they were, but not as low as the 1.48 they were. Bund going the other way again as well, down minus 0.61 negative. They were down as much as 0.79, but they had come back to 0.45. We thought maybe they were making a march toward even. Nah, that's not happening. Japan down minus 0.25%. Oil is down 82 cents, 56.47. Brent down 105, 62.05. That spread is now $5.55. Natural gas down 3 cents, 247. It's getting down here to where I thought the buy was before. We'll see if it forms some kind of a double bottom down there. RBOB 162. So to all you Chicago gas owners, well, I say this every day, RBOB is now lower than when the thing got attacked in Saudi. But I'm thinking most people's gas prices I know of are higher. Just saying. Gold down 280. Silver flat. Not much going on there. AV, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Good morning, everyone. 6:37 a.m. in Chicago. Seems like we're having a cloudy day with chances of rain. Current weather is 68 with a high of 78 and lowest 59. 73 degrees currently in Phoenix. Also partially cloudy right now. Expect the rain afternoon around 3 p.m. Highest weather in Phoenix is going to be 89 and the lowest 71. In traffic, we are having some accidents reported on Adams going west before Niles Center Road and on I-55 going north before Damon. So expect delays up to 10-15 minutes. And baseball scores. Cubs lost to Pirates 2-9. White Sox lost to Indians 0-11. Diamondbacks beat Cardinals 3-1. That's what I got today.
Cubs look good, huh? Me.
Yeah.
What do you think, Kevin? Turn out the lights.
Have they gotten to their 81st win yet so they can have a winning season?
Yeah, I think they have, actually. I've never seen anything quite like it. I mean, and the amount of, even the guy who does the color, Jim Deshays, he's like, it's not just that they strike out, it's when they strike out. Maddie, why don't you grab a headset for a second? Because I did not believe the some of the stats that Jim Deshays, we'll take a second on this before we get back to our other discussion. AVS, Maddie, come on and put a headset on because some of these stats last night were spectacular. That they were, it's the world's most boring game. They were throwing all these stats out. You know, the Pirate pitching staff this year has the highest earned run average of any Pirate pitching staff going back to like 1890. Yet, they've struck out more people than they ever have in a season. What does that tell you about the nature of baseball right now?
Tells me that baseball has become a home run game, and we have seen many teams be successful hitting a lot of balls out of the park. The Yankees do it, and the Dodgers do it. Although I'd have to look at both to see where they rank. I would imagine the Yankees are pretty darn high. But the swing and miss rate is up too. And we've talked about this with the Cubs a few times, that they have some players who just swing and miss constantly. And what's really crazy about the Cubs is that, you know, for people so concerned about launch angle, you get up there with a man on third, and that's when you hit into a double play instead.
Yeah, well, they had, what's his name, the center fielder. With nobody out, he comes up, and the third baseman is 10 feet to the third base side a second. The guy's fast. They're giving you a single. You can't take it. And the Cubs had so many people on base in the first four innings last night, they should have been up 10-0. They should have won the game 10-9. Even with, you know, Hendricks, you know, well, I don't know if he imploded as much as they got about four bloop hits in a row on the poor guy. But that's what happens when you're having a bad streak. But some of the, I think Jim, he said in the entire history of baseball, up until 1999 or 2000, there had only been 20 teams that hit more than 200 home runs in a season. And this year we're going to have like 24 or something. I mean, it's not even...
Yeah, and there's a lot of explanations, including the ball, but the style of hitting has changed, the style of pitching has changed. There are more people throwing mid-90s or more than ever before because everybody uses their bullpen. You know, nobody gets the third time through the through the order anymore, so they just tell the starter, go out there and throw like crazy. Don't pace yourself. And then in comes, you know, one reliever after another, and every reliever, it seems like, with a few exceptions of good ones, is going to come in throwing, you know, 95-plus. And so you're going to get more strikeouts out of that, too, but you're also going to get more home runs, because when you connect on fastballs, they go.
Without having any kind of proof, without having the guns on every single pitch back in the day, I absolutely refuse to believe that as human beings, all of a sudden now, as the Matty Webbers of the world want to believe, every young guy can throw 100 miles an hour, where 20 years ago, guys could only throw 80. I refuse to believe that, Kevin. I mean, the human anatomy has not changed that much in one generation.
Oh, but training techniques have.
Well, they're not training them too well if all they're doing is getting Tommy John surgery every other week.
Yeah, you know, I always think the draft thing when you're drafting pitchers is that you don't draft a guy unless he's already had his Tommy John surgery, because it seems like it's inevitable. You might as well have it in the rearview mirror when you draft him.
Well, yeah. Hey, kind of get back on this other topic, because I'm going to try and see if I can weigh in on Friday. I think the Tricky Dick situation. I don't remember the Clinton stuff so much, although clearly in my mind, if you were a CEO of a company and you had were guilty of having sex in the office with a subordinate, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody your age who's a divorced vice president of marketing.
Yeah, no, we're talking intern here.
Yeah, we're talking intern.
College age intern.
I mean, that clearly is cause for dismissal.
but that isn't why he was impeached.
I understand that, but
that was appalling. He was impeached for lying under oath in somebody else's deposition.
Yeah,
who wanted to bring forward a lawsuit. In nowadays, you know, we would be saying, well, we have to believe the accuser. And by lie, you know, and so by lying under oath, frankly, you're denying her day in court.
Because the
case got dropped. Now he wound up having to, you know, it got reopened. He wound up having to settle with her, and he wound up losing his law license. So, you know, clearly there was some adjudication against him. Whether he lied under oath because he didn't want to face the, you know, the wrath of his wife or whatever, I don't know, and I don't know that he should have been removed from office. Certainly not for the affair. You can be appalled, but that's not grounds to remove him from office. And I think it's debatable whether, whether that lie was grounds for impeachment, but it turned out that's why he was impeached. And it kind of frosts me a little bit when I hear somebody say, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but I do hear people say, well, he got impeached for getting it on in the White House. No, that's not why
he
got impeached.
I agree with you. But
you can look at the articles of impeachment
and you're not in this group, some exceptionally ignorant Republican, in my mind, some senator this morning already talk about the Democrats keep trying to redo the results of the last election, and that's all they're doing. Like nothing's happened in 3 years. I mean, Clinton was a guy that had the truth was merely an inconvenience, in my opinion, of the man. And I never thought anybody could be worse, and this guy's 10 times worse. The truth, he didn't even know, didn't care. So, but what you just said, Kevin, is fascinating. I mean, if you are listening, I do believe there's people out in space somewhere. My buddy Beldo keeps telling me that they're around. By the way, they were at the Notre Dame game that I was at, right? The Saucers were at the Lightning game? Go on Google, you'll find it. Just Google Notre Dame UFOs, and they show them right there, CBS cameras. You're telling me that somebody cannot be capable of being a lawyer, yet he could still be president? Okay. What if I'm listening to that on the moon of Alpha Centauri? What kind of a society? And I just said, no CEO wouldn't be bounced out of office for having sex with an intern in the friggin' office of the place. Oh yeah, well, that's not why the president got. Why he's not going to get tossed for that? So what goals do we have for these people?
The point is, you know, we should not be impeaching a president for being appalling. We should be impeaching a president if and when he breaks the law.
All right, when we come back from break, I'm gonna go the other way with you on this one. I've led you. SP's down 7. Be right back.
That's okay. I'm right anyway.
Oh, I know.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right now. Hello, everybody. Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. He's AV on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill is with me this morning. SP Futures down 7.25, and NASDAQ Futures down 30. It's on top of the sell-off yesterday. After the impeachment declaration or investigation, there's no evidence. Like Kevin says, they haven't had a vote out in the House, so right now it's just Nancy Pelosi sort of exploring the possibility. Kevin, I guess I want to talk more about the impeachment details, but I want to finish this up a little bit. We were just talking about it. If having sex with an intern, as you know, I'm always, the reason why I love doing the show is not because you can talk about one story. We can beat one story to death with a million different people like they do on TV. But to me, it's always the connection between the stories. If nobody seems to believe that just being a cad and having sex with a very willing intern in the Oval Office should get you thrown out, why are we thrown out, I'm going to say, other people that have one too many and grab somebody's behind at a Christmas party? There's a zero tolerance to anybody else yet except the president. Why Why are we doing that?
Because I can argue this both ways, but there is a difference between a consensual relationship and sexual harassment. And there are very, very specific legal definitions that go with sexual harassment.
I think that some
has to be unwanted, for example.
I understand.
Assuming that that's the case. Now, in Clinton's case, it wasn't unwanted. You could argue that he was taking advantage of a power position and she really wouldn't have had the opportunity to do anything but consent, but it was really clear from everything Ms. Lewinsky has ever said about it, that while the man was definitely taking advantage of her naivete, say that five times fast, she was totally consented. Consented to it. So that's why, that's the difference. Not illegal. And remember, we impeach for high crimes and misdemeanors, not because you're bailing on me here.
You're bailing on me here. Because I'm going to say that by definition, in the armed services, if you are an officer, to have sex with somebody who's not an officer is cause for being tossed.
It's different rules, and rules that have been agreed upon beforehand.
But I'm saying that in business, if the chairman of the company has sex with somebody who's a copy girl, not saying the copy girl's a girl or a guy or whatever, but the point being, by definition, it's considered an abuse of power. And yet we're saying that in a presidential spot, there's no such thing as long as it's consensual.
I think it is an abuse of power, but it's totally circumstantial.
Okay,
you should get into this more with Lou tomorrow because he's the attorney. He will, I'm sure can outline the difference. But you know, in my mind, it's appalling either way because you don't do that.
Well, I for one would never consider it. I think it's wrong. When I got on the board in the SIBO, I was obviously going out with Audrey, so I wouldn't be messing around anyway. But the point being, plus she was on a trading floor to watch me. Not that she needed to watch me, but I just said, as soon as I got elected.
You would have been dead.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I was never, not that people did this. I never snuck into the stairwell with a runner before. I surely wasn't going to do it after, now that I was on the board. I had to shut off all that stuff. I mean, in my mind, you can't do any of that stuff. Not that I did it anyway, but...
You know what? A management leader position, it changes the nature of all of your relationships professionally. And there's people who don't understand that.
Obviously.
Now, again, in Trump's case, impeaching him for being appalling, he was appalling way before we elected him knowing he was appalling.
But you're supposed to change.
So I guess there is there are lines to cross, and I'm not advocating one way or the other because I haven't seen everything about this case that's in front of us now. But what I am saying is that you have to pursue it with some consistency as a legal matter. If your definition of as a legal matter in Bill Clinton's case was that he shouldn't have been sleeping with an intern in the first place. I think there's a difference between a legal and an ethical matter. And then we turned around and reelected him, so we didn't give a poop about the ethical matter either.
Right. Well, that's Russell. How are you? We haven't got much time left with Kevin. I want to get into here is Russell's another old fart, so he remembers the tricky dick stuff. He's already been accused of being an old fart, and he's been here 2 seconds. What's the timing on this? And what if I'm going to lead in by saying the bleephead Illinois senator from my district gets thrown out of this. How could you be bad enough to get thrown out of the Illinois Senate? But he was. But then it was so close.
That's an accomplishment. That's actually something for the resume, I think.
Well, except that he got thrown out so close to the election that it was nobody else running, so he runs again and wins. And you can't throw a guy out for the same thing twice, evidently, is the rule. So he gets back in.
I love Illinois politics.
Yeah, so what I'm saying now, what if, I hope this doesn't happen, I hope honestly it doesn't go any further because Congress has a lot more stuff to do, I'm on record as saying that, I'll say that to the end, I don't think it should happen, but suppose it does. Now, we got a timing issue here. Now there's primaries, should somebody run in the Republican primary just in case? state.
Well, it is a timing issue, as you mentioned it. If I were the Democrats and I really wanted to impeach the guy, you know, would I rather do that, you know, in middle of the primary seasons at the earliest?
Well, I guess
because if they impeach him now and if they prevail and they throw him out now, then there's plenty of time for candidates to get in. And I think there's some, you know, pretty interesting Republican candidates potential who probably are lining up for the next time around.
Wait, stop. You know, Kevin, define it now. We're 13 months away from the election. What if now is next June after the primaries already are?
Then that's going to be an interesting situation because will Trump run again and try to get reelected like your local state legislator, or will Pence step in, or will the Republicans broker it out of their convention? I don't know. I don't know what it would look like.
Russell, what do you think?
But I do think that if the Democrats had any brains, that they would hold off on this, and their tactic would be to do it when it would provoke the most chaos.
Well, question number one: if he gets tossed, which I don't anticipate, and I hope it doesn't happen, if he gets tossed, can he run again?
Russell, sure, why not? Unless he's convicted of a crime.
Yeah, I have no idea on that one. That's a great question.
Number one.
We haven't ever had anybody actually get tossed out during their first term. You know, I wonder if Romney went through all the trouble to get back in there just in case something like this happened, and there was a crack of light for 2020.
Well, two questions.
Because I think that's who would automatically be probably the front runner right off the bat.
Well,
he wants it.
Right, my two main timing questions are, well, that first one's not timing, is if he gets tossed, can he run again? And secondly, if he gets tossed before the election, before the convention, clearly the Republicans can recoup and run Romney or somebody. What if he gets tossed between the convention where he's already nominated in the election?
They do a virtual convention.
Okay.
They basically would do like a giant conference call and come up with somebody new.
Well, if he...
I heard that. That came up for some reason. But he has to
withdraw from the race because, it sort of depends on what the rules are. If the Republicans, if the party rules are committed to the primary results and what they bring to the table, then he could still be the candidate.
Yeah. I think that all the, you know, like when somebody says that, when somebody gives up, they release their delegates. I have a funny feeling that if something like that were to happen, all of the delegates would be released to make a decision on their own. But I heard a hypothetical because everybody liked to spread the rumors around Hillary's health the last time around. And the outcome was, well, they would do some sort of a bunch of state conventions or something like that very quickly to come up with a new candidate. But there is a process in place.
Why don't we
just
do that in
just
the first
case.
Place? avoid all of this nonsense that we have to deal with for a year and a half.
Because you don't get two or three days of free advertising for your guy or girl.
Well, when the guy...
that's why.
I don't know how closely the Illinois Constitution follows the federal, but when the guy who was running against Obama, would come from 33rd in the tracks, Fitzgerald, when he got he got booted because, and I never could figure this one out, he went to a sex club with his wife. I don't know why the hell that's a problem, but.
Oh, no, that was, Ryan.
But the Republicans didn't pick the guy who came in second in the primary, they went and picked the black guy from out of state.
Yeah, that was weird.
I think that's when they gave up because that was not the first one that got booted
but
for
the primary
problems.
Well, Kevin, we got to let you go, bud. A lot of stuff to talk about on Friday, I'm sure. Have a nice trip. Learn what you're supposed to be learning down there, will you? And drive safe on the way back.
You'll catch me on the road to Indianapolis Friday morning. So, I'm a traveling man this week.
On the road again? We should play some of that. Who is that? God bless. I just listened to him.
Willie Nelson.
Yeah, well, S&P futures down 27. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at PTISecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@PTISecurities.com. That's JOHN@PTISecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe, Mr. Professor. Professor Mr. Russell Rhodes. He's AV on the board. Matt Weber, we're not sure what he's doing over there, coaching. But AV, you're doing pretty good here. How do you feel today? You feel more comfortable? Second day you're doing it on your own?
Yeah, I feel definitely more confident.
Good. Doesn't she sound like she's like the Ukrainian school teacher in second grade that you knew you better not mess with?
Be afraid of? Oh, yeah. The one time she shouted at me that time was up, I stood straight up and said,
Done.
She gets stern pretty quick.
That's good.
That's good.
We need that.
I'm not so sure you want...
God knows we need that.
I'm not so sure you want her as your mom, but, you know, that's a...
I probably could have used that as a mom, too.
Well, I didn't say we couldn't use it. I said we just wouldn't want it necessarily. The kid who always had to be home with the streetlights were out or else, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
The there were two... I was thinking yesterday, there were two rules that everybody had when we were growing up in a simpler time. Everybody had to be home when the streetlights came on. And you couldn't go out after it rained until the sidewalks were dry.
Why on the second one?
Because that determined whether it was dry enough for you to go out and play, even though you didn't play on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Not so sure. You didn't ask those old moms why.
Because
the answer was, because I said so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I get a lot of whys.
Well, yeah. It's
Yeah.
Well, it's my
I've given up. I've been beaten down now. I'm just... Yeah.
One of my mother's cousins got a wife. She's terrific. Mm-hmm. She absolutely in Ohio. I don't think I've ever met a person other than a politician. She could have and should have been. Maybe still could be a politician. She's a teacher, and I'm between the parents and kids. He has an absolute photographic memory of like everybody she ever taught for the last 50 years, and their parents. You go to the store where there isn't a soul there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't come up and say hello. And she remembers who the person is, the mother's first name, the dad's first name, and it's an entire skill set that, boy, I wish I had. I mean, we're talking about people that are going to Ohio State. The punter calls her in the morning and says, boy, I'm really nervous. Don't worry, you're a good punter. Go out there and do your job. Just don't pay any attention to the crowd. Just get the ball and kick it, just like you've done. And she's coaching people on the team. You know, I mean, they call her before because they absolutely love her. But the T-shirt she would wear is, what part of no don't you get? It's a simple word. It was a different time.
Yeah,
you know, everybody loves her because she never took any crap from anybody, but was nice to everybody. I mean, those people could pull that off. You know, I mean, you didn't mess with them, but they were your best friend, right? I mean, anyway, I am very concerned about in yet another excuse for Congress to do nothing for 6 months, or I won't say Congress, Washington in general. I don't know how many more of these 6 months can we go.
I think their goal is for us to go about a little over 2.16.
And then what?
Because that's 13 months.
But then what? Then what?
And then, I don't know, they'll have one of their own guys in there again and go back to what it was they were doing before, which I'm not really sure of as well.
Well, I mean, I'm going to say that the Obama plan / Elizabeth Warren / Bernie Sanders is an abomination economically. Makes no sense.
It'll slow us back down to that 2% well, that we're not supposed to outgrow.
Well, we're not. I'm saying it is a solution to a problem that both sides see that is unworkable in my mind. Yet I listened to this guy speak yesterday. This whole idea that the globalists are idiots, don't worry about the environment. I mean, That's not the plan either.
There used to be something in the middle, but
yes.
But it's like there was some civil war battle where there was a huge gully between the two different lines, and basically there were lots of injured and dead people between the two lines, and which was like a no man's land. I don't know what
was it Antietam?
I think it was Antietam. Yeah. I was about to say that. That's kind of like the political environment in the United States right now.
There's
just nothing, because if you try to even go in the middle, the other side's going to shoot at you, and then your side's not going to go in there and get you.
Well, I mean, I think
no politicians want to go in there.
I think that the one thing that AOC and Trump have in common, actually, their personalities are very similar in my mind.
They are,
and they have in common is neither one of them has the. I use this as a generic term. Has the stones to really solve anything that's a problem.
They're happy to...
Snipe.
Snipe and then say, you know, and I'm telling you this is what we should do, and we're going to do it, and then...
I got an email the other day from a lady from Ohio, of all places,
mm-hmm.
who must have somehow listened when we were on the air someday, and once in a while she listens into the podcast, and she goes, you're absolutely right. This is all a brush fire while 100 people steal the place.
That's a great way to put it.
And I mean,
it is.
I mean, Trump, for as brash as he is, and I honestly believe this, absolutely got slapped upside the head when he tried to take on Boeing and the prescription drug companies. And he probably has more stones going at that stuff than anybody I've ever seen.
And he's going my wife actually was she made a big sigh yesterday or a couple of days ago when something popped up on her phone. It was something else about the impeachment. And she's never been a huge fan of him, but she said, you know, we had somebody who had an opportunity to independently do a lot of good things, and he is just pissed it away.
I want to meet your wife. That's exactly how I feel. Yeah. He had the opportunity to be different, and he pissed it away.
That's why I was encouraged when he got in there. When he got in there because I was hoping other people. I was hoping the guy from Starbucks, people like that would say, you know, I've got some great experience, and I think that I could get in there and maybe run this thing more like a business and you know, have maybe a second 200 great years of the United States. And I think what has happened to Trump and then what happened to Howard Schultz from the left when he decided to run, he went out there and got absolutely, he was out there in the middle of that big chasm, the battle, and he didn't last very long. I was really hoping that some smart business people would start to take on their second career being president.
I will always challenge you on the part about running it like a business. It is run like a business. It's just a different business.
Well, it's run like a business with a huge agency problem. And the agency problem is when the CEO's running a business like their own piggy bank or exactly the way that they want without taking the shareholders or the constituents into account.
Well, most CEOs don't do that anymore.
You
think the chairman of Camel Edison gives a rat's behind about the shareholders?
No, not really.
Okay, well,
but they also have a situation every 3 months where they've got to report to the shareholders what's going on,
okay,
and they're supposedly supposed to have a board that's going to keep them in check. I think the agency problem still exists in a lot of public companies, but I think it's even worse in government.
I think the demise of the. If people have a bitch about the Electoral College, which, by the way, I do, God, how could you not have a bitch about the way boards are elected? Or aren't? They're appointed by the guys that are on there.
Oh, yeah. Basically, they are appointed. There are ways to go about getting other people in there, but it's very expensive and very difficult.
But, I mean,
have a bitch with the Electoral College? Do you want, you know, if you take everybody in Los Angeles and you take everybody in New York, you got like 20% of the electorate right there. Do you want? This is supposed to be a representative type government, and you know we're not a democracy. We're a republic. We are a confederation.
Everybody wants their vote to count more than somebody else's. I get it.
No, it's not that.
Sure
it's.
It is.
No,
sure
it's not
is.
That. It's if you, I mean, you grew up in a fairly large state that gets it from the federal government on a pretty regular basis.
Actually,
I grew up in a smaller state where you wanted to make sure that you weren't just swept under the carpet.
I'm going to say that Illinois is probably somewhere between 40th and 45th on money coming back from the government that's sent there.
Oh, I severely doubt that.
You wouldn't want to bet me a dollar.
I severely doubt that. That whole beautiful new lakefront that was paid for by the federal government.
Okay.
That, you know, I severely doubt that.
I'm going to say
they're constantly rebuilding the roads here. Where do you think that money's coming from?
I'm going to say that I dug this out once. It's somewhere buried. You see my files over here? They were buried in my files.
Uh-huh.
Where somebody did a study of instead of just taxes going back and forth, it had to do with amount of people in the state that are essentially working for the federal government. There were three pieces to the puzzle. One was taxes, one was that, and there was a third one. And they put the together. Illinois wasn't even snowballs anywhere near from the top. New Mexico has something like, Illinois has like one person out of every 100,000 that works for the federal government. New Mexico's got like 500 or something. Not to mention the amount of Army-Navy stuff there.
Absolutely correct.
It's a dramatic. California used to be somewhere near the top until they closed all the bases. Illinois used to be fine when they had great lakes. So everyone got left. They had Rantoul. They had what's the one he's built the golf course? They used to. What was the Air Force? The Air Force thing up on the north side.
I'm holding this up, and then I'm going to tweet it. You see the red states? Those are the ones that give away a lot of money. It's bad enough they tax the crap out of us here, but then the federal government doesn't give us anything back.
If they ever
got to move this thing to Indiana. Well, yeah,
if the place that makes the subs ever left Connecticut, Connecticut would drop to like 50. That's like the only money Connecticut gets back.
What are our politicians doing in Washington? Hell, we had the president for 8 years. Why aren't we getting our money?
I'm just.
Where's our money?
I'll tell you an interesting story. Bush was in office, so I went down. My stepfather just died, right? So we were cleaning out my parents' house. So I always find an excuse to buy a truck, right? So I find a truck in Tucson, of all places.
Yeah.
So I fly down there, and I get this red truck that Audrey absolutely was appalled at. It was a Chevy 250, man. And you know what? It was a nice truck. So you know what I did with it? Showing my softer side? One of the guys, you know him, you know Scummy,
yep.
The trading floor?
Yeah.
His son was coming back from Iraq, and he was a carpenter, and he goes, he needs a pickup truck, and mine was in really good shape. He goes, you don't need two trucks. So we went online, I found the person-to-person price, and I sold him a nice truck for like $5,500. He gave me a check, and everybody was fine. And now that truck's still worth $5,500 years later. Anyway, so I'm driving back, and when I get from New Mexico into Texas, you go from the interstate, which has had the asphalt on top of the concrete, you know, 40 times in the last 80 years. They never redid the roadbed. And as soon as you cross the border to Texas, it was brand new concrete.
Of course it was.
And I'm thinking, if this is what could happen to Illinois with Obama president, maybe he's not so bad.
Well, that was,
but
you know,
we didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
You know, I went on a barge trip, and we had the people in from China. So we took him on his barge trip, and all it was Illinois soybean guys or corn guys or something. It was corn guys. And all he did was bitch. We have not had a new, I guess the one in, the lowest one down by St. Louis is new. The one by Alton.
The new what?
New one in the last 50 years. The new lock and dam.
Okay.
Not one on the Illinois River has been replaced since the 30s. Not one. So there's like nine of them between the top and the bottom, and one of them has been replaced. Meanwhile, the guy who just croaked, was it Bird from, West Virginia?
Yep.
Every single one on the Ohio River has been replaced.
What are our guys doing there?
You know these guys, really?
Is it that they're Illinois politicians?
If they're going to replace all those dams. You know, no, when you put up a barge group in there, you can have like nine things on the barge or whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
They have to take them apart and put them through half at a time. And there's actually handheld winches. These guys do this in the wintertime when there's ice on these ropes and stuff. You wouldn't want that job. You wouldn't give that job to somebody you hated.
No.
So it takes forever to go down. If you put your soybeans or your corn in, you pay a penny or two a bushel more for every lock and dam they have to go through.
If we paid two, would we get new locks and dams, or would it just go away?
Get a load of this. When those guys buy diesel, you know, they buy it on the river, right? Where the hell is you gonna buy it?
Yeah.
They pay a diesel tax for maintenance of the stuff, just like we do a gas tax. They haven't had a new lock and dam since 1934. Where do you think that money's going?
It's going to other states.
It's going to Illinois. But my point being is it's not fair. But there's stuff. Anyway, the estimate was that if we replaced even like four of them,
mm-hmm.
it was going to be something like 15 million carpenter hours in terms of jobs. They would have to have places where they train carpenters. I mean, a lock and dam is a big deal, especially if you're going to make one to 12 barges to go through. It's probably an 8-year project. The amount of work, you know, it would be worth it. The amount of work it would take for one of them would probably have 500 people, 400 people working for the next 8 years.
That sounds like a perfect government project.
Right, because
it does, because it puts a whole bunch of people to work for a while.
But at the end of the day,
that would have been a great fiscal stimulus project. Why didn't we do it then?
Well, what I'm saying is that's my kind of project, because at the end of the day, the boats get through twice as fast. At least you got something for it. It's not a bridge you refuse to maintain and now you have to fix. You don't get anything with that.
Or like, I think Elmhurst got a fountain out of the federal government during the I don't even think there's water in it now.
Why would you want a fountain with water in it?
No, they put the Christmas tree in it.
God. Pete Najarian was working on he was when he was in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
He was on the board of one of the suburbs out there.
He was in Western Springs.
Western Springs. He was on the board of Western Springs.
He was next over.
So they me. So they ended up going to the government for a new train station.
They got a nice train station.
Well, it turns out that when they went for like, they pick a number, they went for like $5 million.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, somebody comes in with a new plan, and it was like $2.5 million, and it was way nicer. So they go, can we say we only want 2.5? Well, we'd like this new station better. Oh God, no! You never want to do that because they'll just take your 5 back and never give you the 2.5. There's no process for saying, you know what, 2.5 is plenty. Screw the 5. Give us the 2.5. Can you imagine us not having? We started off talking about the guy from Starbucks and Trump were into these prescription plea.
Yeah, they had the thing is Trump did go in there.
Yeah.
Not beholden to anybody. And which is really what you would like to have in any politician, I know that we've got a bunch of politicians that have all become millionaires since they've been in Congress through hook and crook, but having a few rich guys in there that don't really have to worry about going to a fundraiser, don't have to take don't have to give the access. We talked about that people that donate to campaigns that are bundlers, they basically are buying future access. Not having to listen to those guys. Instead, maybe bringing in a few experts in an area and making a logical decision that is the best for the majority of people and not worrying about all the lobbyists. That would be awesome.
You know what?
That was the positive that I tried to put
Russell,
out there for him.
Russell, how
and
do we
he,
get?
He ruined it.
How do we get from point A to point B? And when I say this, I'm going to ask you because you obviously were more involved after I left. When I was on the CBOE, we had a bunch of guys. Whenever we went to Washington, we'd have 5 guys, or women, but they're mostly guys in those days.
Yeah.
We had Senator Phil Graham, we had this guy, we had all these people. And even in Chicago, when anybody came through, what's her name? Amy, she was real nice. I worked for Bratsky, Amy something something. She was terrific at getting these people in.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is her last name? You know what I'm talking about. Attractive, pleasant as all get out, real smart, worked for Bratsky, and she was, anyway, but she would find out that this congressman's coming to town, and she would schedule him for a breakfast at the SIBO.
Yeah. Sometimes I would be the person that took them around the
okay.
The
but they'd, floor. But they'd pile in, and the maximum a corporation could give these guys was like $1,000.
Yeah.
So you
that's not, the number's not right, but there was a check that they'd get for stopping by.
It was 500 or 1,000.
Yep.
It was not more than
that. It was 500.
It might have been 500. Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody sits down, never heard of an option from his life. You get to sit down with some people. What do you guys do? This is what we do. Blah, blah, blah. How does it affect the economy? This, that, and the other thing. And people get asked some questions. And it's an hour and a half, too. You give the guy a check for 500. I don't think you're buying anybody for that. To me, that.
Oh, no.
To me, that's America. That's this guy learning about people that he never saw before and doing that kind of stuff. And that to me makes tremendous sense. How do you get from there to everybody essentially bought off by Merck or Pfizer to where they charge $50,000 for a product that costs them $0.50 a pill and you can't go after them for it because they got a patent and nobody even, and these guys even ask them, by the way, how much does the thing actually cost you to make?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have no idea the research. I didn't ask you about the research. I'm asking you, what is the, now if you need to tell me that you need the sperm from a male snail darter in the Amazon and that the only way you can get it is for some guy to jump in and get eaten up by piranha and it costs you $50,000 a shot and you're charging $60. Okay, I'll buy that. I'll take that. But that's not what's happening, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but how do you grant somebody a patent, essentially a monopoly for 17 years or more if they can pull it and not say, by the way, how much are you going to charge?
That's two different agencies.
But I mean, how do you?
It really is. The FDA that approves the drug is not necessarily the one that's going to end up dictating the price. I guess that's the FTC.
But
how do you? The thing with, I think drugs are unique. Unique because you're paying for the 10 that failed. In addition to the one that
But you don't take somebody's word for it of how much the other 9 cost them.
Yeah.
And just lob it on there. See, the thing that really frosts me about all this, I got an odd view of the world. If we were going through this the first time, if this was the first time around the block, I don't have a problem with it, Russell, because people all learn together. I mean, if I'd have known 5 years into my experience in the OEX pit, if I'd have known that in the first month, I would have made so much money I would have retired.
Yeah.
But we all learn together, okay? So I get that part. But the idea of a drug going on patent is absolutely no different. It's exactly the same thing economically as giving somebody land to build the railroad from Chicago to Galena. And all of a sudden, the railroad's done, and the farmers say, how much to put my soybeans on the train and get it to market? How much you got? you couldn't do one without the other then. What makes you think you can do one without the other now? Mm-hmm. And trust people to do the right thing. Right?
Yeah.
What makes you think that you can't... And then, of course, later on when you had roads and trucks and you had some sort of a competitive landscape, you'd have to worry about it as much. But day one... You couldn't get from Galena to Chicago except by that railroad.
Well, if the government would just, stop trying to impeach and completely nationalize the healthcare system, then we wouldn't have to worry about that part.
Well, but the same people, if you charge them the same amount.
Yeah.
That's what's so wrong mm-hmm. about the Democrats and Republicans' approach to healthcare. They concentrate on who's going to pay. It's not who's going to pay. It's how much it costs. If you have hospitals that are charging $6,000 for an MRI while there's places that'll do it for $600, that's the problem. It's not who's paying the $6,000.
Well, if they nationalize the healthcare, and don't they just dictate how much it's going to cost?
Well, but they might, if you got enough power, they'll dictate, okay, charge $6,000, we'll tax for it. Right?
So, yeah. It just seems to me that, if the government could get that done and get it done properly where they could start to dictate the cost, those costs would come down.
Okay, they somewhat nationalized by having one person left in the airline industry.
Mm-hmm.
You think they really can dictate the Boeing how much they want for Air Force One?
When they say,
okay, are you going to go to Airbus? We'll never go to Airbus for Air Force One. Okay, this is how much it's going to cost you. There was a guy in Chicago I think they might have gone out of business when we had nothing but a huge depression, but... if you wanted to have, back in the day when you built a huge building, you actually excavated down in a rock, way back in the day. Now they don't. They use caissons, right? So they use those big drills, and they drill into you a certain compactment, you pound it up, and then you put the concrete in there, and that's your beam, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was a guy in Chicago that did the caissons, and everybody used him. And finally, and if you were to say, I really need another bid, I'll get you another bid, but by the way, I own that company too. Okay. I mean, what difference did it make? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got one airline company, you really think this makes any difference between the Democrats and Republicans who's buying Air Force One?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are we either going to have a competitive landscape here or we're not. And the areas that we're not competitive, they're the places we have problems, right?
Yeah.
Now, how do we, professor of economics, how do we turn that bus around? You don't do it by having 18 representatives pricing the stuff. You find a way to make it more competitive.
You come up with a public-private partnership.
yeah.
So if I was
a genius, or Ivy is going to, she's our genius of the day.
Yep.
She's going to come up with a way where somebody can get a drug through the FDA if it's the right drug for $5 million, and it comes in safe, sort of like they do in Europe. Who do you think the first phone call bitching about it is from?
I don't know, whichever drug company has the most access or is going to lose the most.
What are you talking about?
But she'll solve this one during the break, won't she?
Oh, you never know.
Yeah.
What about the Cubs? Can she solve that?
There's nothing to solve until, I don't know, what, late February, early March at
Pittsburgh
this point?
Snapped their 12-game losing streak last night.
I know.
Isn't that, I mean, how many runs could the Cubs have scored in the first four innings if they would have gotten to touch the ball with two and three people on base every inning?
You guys know I grew up a Cardinals fan, right?
Yeah, well.
I think you'd throw me off the show if I told you that a long time ago.
SP Futures not only down a buck and a quarter, we're coming back. NASDAQ Futures only down 850. I'm Tom Howe, he's Mr. Russell Rhodes, she's IV on the board. Ivanka, we'll look at the name when we come back. We can only use one at a time. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm talking about Mr. Russell Rhodes. We have Angelica Blasenko on the board, and Russell's got me into, as I'm supposed to be doing for traffic weather sports here, he's got me looking at heyjackass.com. We're looking at the murder rates in Chicago, and was it 90% of them don't even have a...
We might have 90 and a half.
Or no clearance. No clearance.
That's right. You got a 1 in 10 chance of getting caught if you kill somebody in Chicago.
S&P futures down 175, NASDAQ futures down 9. Dow futures down 14. I'll mention something about that when we come back. Sort of interesting. DAX down 123. It's a full 1%. FTSE down 36.5%. I know these guys were not part of the sell-off after the Pelosi announcement yesterday, so they're sort of catching up. CAC around down 76, 1.4%. Over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei down 78.4%. Shanghai down 29. That's a full 1%. Hang Seng down 335. That's 1.3%. Bonds, U.S. 10-year 1.65%. The Bund minus 0.61, Japan minus 0.25. Oil, I thought I'd say minuses for interest rates. By the way, I have to ask you about the article I had from Denmark yesterday. Oil down 99 cents now. That's 1.7%, 56.30. Brent down 123. Natural gas, 248. I'm thinking low 240s. I like natural gas here, although the contract's too big for me to buy. So there's a conundrum. RBOB, 161. I'm going to say it's even now to before the thing happened in Saudi Arabia, and gas at the pump is still 30 cents higher. Silver down 7 cents. We got gold down 620, but still 1534, still way up there. Miss Angelica Lovasenko, AV for short.
Yes.
What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
Good morning again. It's 36 minutes past the hour. Looks like it's cloudy and humid day in Chicago with a current weather of 67, highest of the day 78, and the lowest 59. We're expecting some rain around 9 a.m. Also, Phoenix looks partially cloudy with 73 currently, and some chances of rain afternoon around 3 p.m. with the highest weather of 89 and the lowest 71. We have new accidents reported. One is on Lakeshore Drive going south before Michigan. Two right lanes are blocked, so expect delays up to 10 minutes. And there is a right shoulder is blocked on I-90-94 going west at Pershing Road due to the accident as well. In baseball, Cubs lost to Pirates 2-9, White Sox lost to Indians 0-11, and Diamondbacks beat Cardinals 3-2. That's what I got. Cheers.
So, Russell,
can I make one comment about the baseball last weekend?
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Remember Caddyshack when the priest goes out and plays golf in the thunderstorm?
Yeah.
That's what it was like to be a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, why?
Twice I went and did something else and came back thinking the Cardinals were going to lose and they won.
Oh, God.
Well, the only thing is, you know, at the end of that round, the priest gets struck by lightning, and I think that's going to be the series against the Dodgers.
So our meteorologist.
So
our weather person.
Could be over quick.
Our weather person.
Uh-huh.
AV, do you think she's fallen into the full-time role when the first thing I see this morning on my phone is a text, Chief, is it raining? Now, the meteorologist is asking me if it's raining.
Is it? I don't know. You know how we used to do that in the day? We just kind of stick our hand out the window and
yes,
see.
Yes, well, you can hear it. If you have the windows open, you can hear it.
Now you...
Well, I need the first sources, you know. I knew that you were up already.
Yeah.
We'll get you an app.
Yes.
Because them interwebs are really good for such things.
I have a huge...
Thomas Foster.
Yeah, yeah. I have a huge golf umbrella that must have cost, back when, you know, people paid a lot of money for tchotchkes. Talk about a collector's item, Russell. Bear Stearns.
Nice.
Yeah.
Real nice. I've been talking about that. My financial ethics class, we talked all about that last night.
Hey, Kevin wants to talk to you about that.
He does?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I will...
He has an interesting view of the world.
Why don't you do a... I'll send him an email. I've got his email address from...
Because I was saying that you were talking about, you know, the ethics and dealing with people who are going to be, you know, higher end guys, shall we say?
Yeah.
And Kevin, I was said, you know, Russell wants to talk to you. Kevin's teaching sort of the same kind of class,
mm-hmm.
and he goes about it. He says I go absolutely the opposite way. I take the world's simplest type of thing, and we start off in a business where somebody takes credit for somebody else's work. You know, just.
Yeah.
The simplest thing, and then builds on it from the bottom up,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to, you know, tell an executive what's right and wrong. Because obviously, it's more you run into these, and you do run into these issues constantly, even at a smaller end in business. Even if, you know, somebody has an idea on the truck docks and how to make it better, you try and find out whose idea it was before you know what I'm saying? Instead of, I mean, ethics goes up and down the chain, and Kevin's kind of the New York model.
Okay.
You stop the windows from breaking, and they stop the murders. We were talking about, hey, Jackass, isn't that, how many people, what's the shot in the junk-o-meter this year?
Oh, my gosh.
These guys,
heyjackass.com is, it's interesting. It's when people start grilling me about living in Chicago and the murder rate and everything, I pull up the map that shows where all the different you know, shootings actually occur, and I point out, you know, where I work and where I hang out, and that it's not as dangerous as you would think it would be. But I'm trying to find the junk-o-meter. So far, there have been 92 people shot in the ass. I can say that, right?
Yeah.
And 36 people shot in the junk.
That's got to be bad.
Yeah. And assuming that somebody didn't get shot in the ass and flip around and get shot in the junk real quick, that means that there's 128 people that...
here's something...
The 36 was 36 people shot themselves by accident. It's 20 shot in the junk.
Yeah. So get a list out. if you'd have put this out there.
Yep.
AV, I'd love to have you comment on this because before your time, if you would have put a selfie meter on TV 30 years ago, would people have any idea what you're talking about?
I think yeah.
20 years ago, a selfie meter.
Yeah.
You know, it's really funny. Every time we would develop film when I was growing up, there was always a picture of my younger sister that she had taken of herself, just like in the middle of the roll.
Oh God,
she was the queen. She was the selfie queen.
Well,
I've
hit
like
the button
eight.
On the camera while you were trying to do something where it was looking at.
Oh yeah, there would be a picture of my foot.
Yeah, something like that. There's 36 people have shot themselves.
Yep.
Selfie. Whoops. I mean, that's spectacular. How do you do that?
Usually it's I was cleaning my gun on Saturday night, teaching my dog how to read, and bam.
Well, you know, that was a big deal. Get a little of this. Some of the stupid stuff I know. When Colt first came out with the single action, right?
Uh-huh.
And people were riding it on horseback in the Army. People in the Army, obviously, on horseback. You got the Colt in your holster. They learned after enough guys shot themselves in the foot that the thing could go off if you're bouncing around on a horse, that you never... Even though you had a six shooter, you never had one in the chamber up top.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's as much as I know about guns. I sort of read that, but the but 84%, 85% of the people shot are African American. Isn't that special?
Yeah.
11.8% are Hispanic. 3.7% are white or other. 0.9% are unknown. How are you unknown? You're so much of a mutt.
Well, I know you haven't applied for a job in a while, but when you apply for a job in this day and age, you actually get to declare that you would not like to state your race. So maybe, you know, people who chose not to answer that question when, I don't know.
Yeah, but if you're dead, how can you tell them that? Somebody just looks at you.
Well, that's homicides or?
Homicides.
Okay. Well, they were shot up so badly we couldn't tell.
Oh, God. All right.
You started it.
I know. So I'm not the issues that we have. I think a lot of them are economic. And
yeah, if we got our money back from the federal government, this wouldn't happen.
I'll tell you a guy who got tossed out and was never invited back. We at St. Bernadette's, you know, this when I was young, we'd go to church, and you always had, you know, there was a big difference. If you went to Sacred Heart at Notre Dame, right, mm-hmm. and you went to church there. Clearly, the priest who was given the homily, the speech, for lack of a better term, if you don't know what homily is, has spent, you know, 4 days on it, right? And he's talking about some thing in literature, something in politics, something whatever, and there's a lesson to it, right?
Yeah.
The guy spent some serious time on it, and it's worth probably listening to. But clearly, your local parish, when you got grandma down to the 2-year-old in the place, it's pretty milquetoast, you know. Keep it under 8 minutes and get everybody the hell out, basically, right?
Yeah.
Well, so they got
that's the plan.
They got some guy who's a visiting priest and he's teaching at Quigley, and he must have thought that like a parish church was like, you know, giving a college lecture or something. He comes up and he goes into this thing about how more wars were fought in the name of religion than anything else, you know. And he basically said, which I believe is absolutely true, that wars are fought. For economic reasons in the name of religion to get people to fight, basically, right? He was not invited back. Just saying. But there was nothing there that wasn't true. It was probably the only homily I ever remember from St. Bernadette's was this guy because it was so good. And I was immediately informed that he was not invited back. So, just saying. But, I mean, so we have all this stuff going on in the Middle East, and we've got the politics. You just see the economics and the politics like intermingling.
Uh-huh.
And you wonder where the U.S. stands with this. How much, you know, yesterday, I don't know if you heard the speech at all, But the president was absolutely castigating people that are, quote, globalists.
Yeah. I didn't hear the speech.
But here's a man who has hotels in how many different countries? And he's accusing other people of being globalists.
He should abandon all of his overseas businesses.
But now the people who voted for him, they don't care about that.
I know.
I'm not sure what they care about other than keeping Democrats out. But
I think most people care about their day-to-day lives.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
And, you know, everybody says that everybody votes with their pocketbook. Well, I think that's an extension of your everyday lives.
I agree.
If your everyday life is okay, if you got a job, you know, maybe not the best job in the world, but you got a job, and at the end of the week on Friday night, you get home and you plop into your Barco lounger and you feel kind of good about where you're at, you don't have a whole lot of worries, you don't get all fired up about politics.
Oh, yeah. It's way too much effort.
If you can go through a lot of what gets thrown out at us is distractions.
I would agree.
We could basically fill the hour quite easily talking about what last weekend's distractions were that kept us from focusing maybe on the long-term problems of the world or things like that. The where we are in the baseball race, what's starting to happen, how things are starting to size up relative to college football.
Race is not so good.
Well, but still, it's something that people are paying attention to instead of other things. As soon as that gets behind us, the Blackhawks start up. We can still pay a little bit of attention to the Bears. Typically, I'm sure a lot of people half in jest over the weekend said, "Well, at least the Blackhawks start in 2 weeks," or "Well,
how about those Bears?
How about the Bears still aren't out of it," or something along those lines.
They're 2-1. They're going to be out of it.
Yeah. Well, they're not out of it. You know what I mean?
I'm saying they're in it.
They're 1-1.
The three Hispanic plumbers yesterday. All we was talking about the Bears.
What do you think about the Bears? Well, we're done with it. Yeah. But if the Cubs had swept the Cardinals and were right in the middle of it. The point, it doesn't really matter what the distraction is.
Right.
There's always the next distraction. And, if you put like a giant sports calendar up with what major event is on the horizon, just about every other weekend there's something that really does capture your attention. It's really rare that there's not. Maybe in the middle of the summer when baseball's kind of dull or around the All-Star break or something like that.
You're going down this road with this, what you're saying is actually very similar to the way my uncles used to look at the world and politics and corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And when you grew up during a depression, or grew up really at any time, we had a phone, probably didn't, but your interactions were all with people. Day to day, all day, more so than you liked. I mean, probably 10 people lived in a house, which is way more than you liked. Maybe one bathroom. I mean, it was totally different.
Yeah,
you're living on top of people. I don't think you ever had any idea of what people are. You knew exactly how people were, right? It's not like every kid had his own room. They don't even talk to their parents at dinner. He's on the phone. I mean, I'm not castigating that. I'm saying it's just different. I'm not saying it's better, worse, or whatever. But my uncles always had pretty good jobs in factories, and their view of Richard J. Daley Richard J. Daley, the first Daley.
Yes.
And their view was the corruption was at a level that was acceptable.
Yeah, because at the end of each day, or at the end of each week, I like to think of it as where are you at on a Friday night? Are you, happy with where? Are you so exhausted and can't afford to do anything over the weekend? Or, can you order a pizza, watch some Netflix, and sit in your Barco lounger?
But it was happy
with it.
But it was when I look back at the numbers, I try and do some research going back, because not just listening to some uncle's speech from 30 years ago or 40 years ago. They were right. If you look at the taxation levels versus what people made, I mean, it wasn't like you made a fortune.
Yeah.
And clearly you didn't want to get sick, and God help you if you had any teeth problems. All you did was yank them. So it wasn't like life was better for people in the 60s. Surely it wasn't if you were sick. But the point being is that if you looked at what a person made and what he kept and what he was able to do with that money, was different. And they looked at the city, so what if the guy down the block's son's a dip bleep, and at the last gasp, the guy goes to the alderman and gets him a job, picking up papers downtown on the street. Mm-hmm. So what? I mean, it's no big deal. The guy's not making very much. I'm making more. The guy's at least got a job, and he's not sitting on his porch drinking beer all day.
Yeah.
The numbers were okay. But now the numbers are different. You don't find, I mean, I knew guys that worked as an assistant manager in a Jewel, and maybe the wife, you know, did hair a couple days a week or something. They had a bungalow.
Yeah.
They had a Chevy pickup, or not a pickup, they had a Chevy station wagon. Kids went to Catholic school. I mean, the guy wasn't buying a new suit every day or anything, but they were able to live a real life.
Yeah. And it's not that it was, you know, it's not like it's the best thing in the world, but there were very few worries.
Right.
I'm thinking about the downside. You know, what are you concerned about? You know, if you get to the end of the week and you've slipped a little bit more into debt and you're concerned about what you're going to do over the weekend and what it's going to cost you, that's no way to live. I think there are a lot of people that are at that point.
Well, you didn't have people coming home that were retired, and if they had any Social Security, you didn't have Social Security being $1,000 a month and your taxes being two, you know, on your property tax or something bizarre like that. You didn't have people working in a, I won't say people that had real jobs. I was not going to go there, but you didn't have people making 25 grand a year and the gym teacher at the local high school making $1.50.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, come on. Like, any one of those guys couldn't have been the gym teacher? I mean, right? I mean,
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
I'm not beating up on gym teachers. I'm just saying that the economic, everything right now to me economically is because of a period of a long time where people have not gotten raised. A lot of people haven't. You go to the debtclock.org. The number one number is a bazillion numbers on there now. You look at the median income, 2000, $30,000 in 2019, or it was 2009, was $30,000, now it's 33. That's although all the other numbers on the page flow from that. Doesn't surprise me that the debt levels on credit cards and student loans and everything, because the average guy, the median guy, is not doing any better.
Yeah.
And until you stop that, to expect that guy to pay, you know, a $90,000 pension to somebody, you know, just for sitting on a sofa, not saying they don't deserve whatever. I'm just saying the numbers don't match, Russell. I'm not making any kind of moral conclusion here. I'm just saying this guy can't pay for that guy because there's not the money there.
Yeah.
And I'm saying when in the 60s and 70s, the economic grid made more sense as to who made what where, is all I'm saying. Chairman of Pullman made $250,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
A guy on the factory maybe worked two Saturdays overtime, made 25. So it was 10 times.
Yeah.
Now it's 1,000 times?
Can be. Yeah, absolutely can be. I mean, I could totally see that.
To me, there's a lot of stuff here that needs to be fixed. The young Democrats, without any knowledge of economics or anything, are looking at it and saying it looks wrong. It must be the rich people's fault or something. They're pointing fingers. They have no solutions. Elizabeth Warren doesn't have a solution. If you slapped her upside the head, she wouldn't have a solution. She wouldn't duck.
But she wrote a book on personal finance.
Oh yeah, right.
She did.
But
she's telling us she had a plan for how you can
finance when you work in the government is different than if you work for yourself.
She wrote a book where she said basically make sure you put 20% of what you make away all the time.
Yeah, right.
Which is great if you can live off the 80% that's left over.
Yeah, it's like, I'll teach you how to buy downtown office buildings with $10. Okay.
Yeah.
How you gonna do that? Yeah, I mean, who's kidding who on this stuff?
We should have a whole we should get copies of her book and we should read like a passage and then make something up and get people to guess whether or not it actually is coming from her book or something that we made up.
You should always make more than you spend. You should always save what you make. You should always live in a nice place. Really. Yeah. Really. Okay. If we fight this impeachment battle for 6 months, yet another.
It won't go that long. We talked about this off the air. It won't go that long.
How long did the Nixon thing go?
The Nixon thing was like brewing, but then there was like a tipping point, and there was about a 2.5 month period where it just, where it was really just like a waterfall of situation.
All right, so we're talking January.
So I feel like, you know, I feel in what I did to get that perspective is I actually, because, you know, I'm weird like this, my distraction is looking at some history, and I basically looked at, I read the Wall Street Journals for like the summer where he ended up resigning. He didn't get impeached, but the summer where he ended up resigning, and the stuff, I think he resigned in August,
no, he was,
and I think the stuff really
was,
started to kick in late May, early June.
He was impeached by,
He was impeached?
Okay. You know what, somebody correct me, that's why I need to get Wayne in on Friday. I think he was, the impeachment got out of the House.
And
people from the Senate said, even though he had a Republican majority, like five or six of the guys came over and said, I can't go with you on this.
Yeah, and so he resigned. I feel like he resigned. I mean, he did resign.
But it was only after Senators.
My earliest memory is watching that on TV when I was about four or five.
But I think, like, that's what I was trying to explain to Maddie on the way in, not that this will happen this time, but if Trump is over the line, you're not going to get a vote, I don't think. You're going to get a vote in the Senate. You're going to get five or six Republican guys going to the Oval Office saying, I'm voting against you, and that puts you out. So you want you to do the responsible thing and just be out now.
Wouldn't you love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation?
Well, I'm going to say, but that's what happened to Tricky Dick, right?
Yeah, but if they, I wonder if, you know, he taped everything. Do they have a tape of that one?
Probably.
You know, hear that.
I'll tell you what, I honestly, as much as I really hoped, like you did when the man got in office.
Yeah.
I'm right with your wife on this. I just hoped that when he got in there, he said, you know, I'm in the Oval Office. How I got here, I don't know, but here I am. I just got to step up my game, and I got to stop this crap for 8 years.
Yep.
And, you know, because I think the man had some talent, and he had some balls that nobody's had. And I really, as much as I couldn't stand him because I knew people that he basically stiffed on jobs, I really had hopes. And now
he's the guy that you want. He's the kind of crazy that you want on your side.
Yeah, but and now and, all of a sudden he's poisoned the well.
Yeah,
for my lifetime, for anybody from the outside ever to run again.
Yeah,
well, I don't want that either.
And that and you know that really and you know everybody talks about his base and how loyal the base is. The base isn't that loyal. They're really not.
There's some I can
there's
say.
There's some, but it's not like a 40% base.
No,
that
but.
Is going to blindly follow him into 2020. I think it's about a 15-20%.
Russell, you're Republican and conservative, but you're not the base I'm talking about, or the people I run into in various Southside parties as I still go back to my roots. Hates Muslims, hates Mexicans, hates liberals.
Oh my God,
that's his base.
Yeah, okay. So, but I don't think that's 40%.
No, it's probably
20.
I
think it's a much lower number.
But it's a 20 that no other Republican wants to run against.
Right.
Right.
I mean, there's a 20-25% of ridiculous liberal people that the Democrats don't run against.
They're
but
not,
you know what?
They're not as united. They're more screwed up as a party.
Yeah, they've all got their one very big special interest.
Right, SP futures up 150. We're back to unchanged. They're basically NASDAQ futures down 75 cents. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jocks.
Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.